Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hi there, and welcome to Oaktown Boys, season 3, episode 5, season 4,
season 4, episode 5.
Oh my gosh.
We're old.
We are. Time's flying. You know, time flies when you're having fun, and let me tell you, we are having fun right now.
We are having fun now.
We're having fun.
It feels
fun.
Weird, but it is fun. So fun.
And I don't know, if we like had the conversation on the podcast, but we definitely had the conversation looking at this part of the schedule. Where it was like, okay, you know, like we're playing the Pirates and then we're playing the Marlins. And like, if we could somehow be anywhere close to good when we play the Pirates and the Marlins, then it's going to be like, maybe we could make it interesting. And here we are.
We could get to 500 maybe.
Here we are. I don't think either one of us thought we were going to win the Orioles series leading up to right now. But hey, I'll take it. You know, split with the Yankees, win a series against the Orioles, sweep the Pirates. What are you going to do? You know? But yeah, it was a sick week. This is one of the coolest weeks.
It's a pretty cool month.
First,
and it was a very sick week.
First, they said first sweep in 18 series. I saw that.
Wow, I was wondering about that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the last time they swept had to have been when they did the reverse boycott game last year. They were on like a 7-game winning streak.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
That had to be the it.
Or I mean, so what is that? 18 games. So that's 18 series, mostly 3, some 4. So that's probably what? 60 some odd games, 65 games. So that's definitely last year.
2-3 months.
You know, that's definitely like end of. So I guess they must have swept someone in September last year. I don't know. I was
maybe
pretty,
not.
I you know.
Because they don't play every day.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
So 65 days probably goes like almost 2.5 months.
Yeah, 65. Yeah, yeah. So it could be. It could have been sometime in August. It was definitely last season. So it's been a while.
It's been too long. And it's frankly been too long since we've been able to say the A's are hot.
Yeah.
And they might be good.
Like, yes.
Are they good? They might be.
And, you know,
these
I
are
mean,
the thoughts we're having.
We won. They win the last game of the Yankee series. They win 2 out of 3. They take 2 out of 3 from the Orioles. They sweep the Pirates. It's 6 out of 7. It's good.
So they split a 4-game set in New York.
Yeah.
They beat the Orioles on the road, and then they swept the Pirates at home. These aren't exactly cheapies. I mean, the Pirates aren't very good right now, but.
But they also swept them.
They swept them. They did what they needed to do.
So, I mean, I guess we can.
It's amazing.
Let's just get into it. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about.
We could just say the same thing over and over about how much fun we're having.
Yeah. But game one of the Orioles series was an extra innings win, which have felt few and far between. You know, like it seems like extra innings has not been super favorable to us, you know? So this was good. This was good. But this is a fun game.
Definitely a gutsy win, I would say.
Yes.
Scored one in the ninth and the 10th to win 3-2. And that was the first run scored since the fourth inning. Yeah, I mean, to win a game on the road nowadays in extra innings is real tough.
Yeah.
And they did it.
Especially, you know, and these are the situations, extra inning games are the situations where Mason Miller is really starting to shine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it doesn't matter if there's a runner on second. Nobody's going to, good luck making contact with anything, you know, like much less, like everybody's going to strike out. You're just going to strike out. Almost every single person is going to strike out. So yeah, there can be a runner on second, but a runner on third probably. And most of the time he's going to just handle it, you know, because it's like the way Mason Miller is going right now, like contact at all, like a ground out can probably be looked at as like not a bad at bat, mm-hmm. you know, like at least you hit something.
Totally.
So go ahead, put a runner on second, put a runner on first too. Doesn't stress me out that much, you know. So extra innings, Mason Miller just continues to be like a weapon in all of these situations. But yeah, he did it today. He did it in this game also.
So. Brent Rooker had a big game, two doubles in the ninth and the tenth each, well, respectively. And Butler had a double himself.
Yeah, Rooker was
Langeliers homered.
Rooker. I think I looked at it right before we started. He's batting like 200, and his OPS is like 770.
Yeah, he's holding it together.
Not a lot of contact, but man, is it loud contact when it happens, you know?
He's serving a purpose for sure.
Yeah.
This was a pretty decent outing by Ross Stripling. 5 2/3, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 3 Ks, 0 walks. Another scoreless outing by McFarland. Mitch Spence really endeared himself to me in this game, going 3 shutty.
Yep.
1 walk, 2 strikeouts, and then Mason Miller slammed the door, getting his 7th save at the time. And it's just amazing. Every time he throws, it's like one inning, nothing but 2 strikeouts.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, 3 innings, maybe a hit, maybe a walk, 4 Ks, you know. but yeah, this was a pretty good outing from Ross Stripling. And, you know, we will revisit that.
Yep.
We'll revisit the good starts from Ross Stripling ideas later on. But yeah, this is solid.
It was amazing. They held down.
TJ McFarland continues to get like big outs too.
Yeah.
You know,
I didn't expect that. And yeah, they held down a good offense in game one. Game two, that offense came back swinging and the A's unfortunately lost 7-0. It was interesting because it was against Cole Irvin, and I think the way things were going, everybody was kind of thinking, like, maybe the A's will put some runs on the board today.
Yeah.
Cole Irvin doesn't get to pitch in Oakland anymore, so he doesn't have the pleasantries of fly balls not going out as much. But it didn't work in the A's' favor. They did pretty much nothing. Cole Irvin was quite good. He went 7, 4 hits, 5 strikeouts, no walks. J.P. Sears was looking off.
Yeah.
He did manage to go 6 1/3, so I mean he did what he could. Struck out 8, walked 1. But yeah, 7 earned runs, 3 home runs. It's okay. It happens.
Wasn't hitting his spots.
At least he put some innings in.
And this is one of those lineups where as they illustrated in this game, if you miss your spots, they will punish you. They will. And you know, I mean, the fact that they're so good. Their lineup is like scary, and they're all like 22, you know,
seemingly.
Like, cause who homered?
Rutschman, Mountcastle, and
Henderson,
Gunnar,
right?
Henderson.
Yeah. And Rutschman's what, like 23?
I think 24. So.
And Gunnar Henderson like 21?
22, maybe.
22. So, and he's like crushing it, right? He's having like an amazing year.
Yeah, he could be like MVP status.
Yeah. So 1-1 going into the rubber game. And the A's totally pulled it off.
They pulled it off. And this was another nice little come from behind scrappy win. It's so good to see. Score ended 7-6, but the A's scored the final 3 runs of the game, 1 in the 7th and 2 in the 9th. highlighted by Kyle McCann's two-run home run off of Craig Kimbrell.
And buoyed by a good game from Tyler Nevin. Like, this was the game where I was like, Tyler Nevin is legit.
He might be.
Like, Tyler Nevin is legit.
He might be it.
He went 2-for-5. He homered. And just this big moments. He comes up in big moments.
This might have been like one of the first balls he really pulled.
Yeah.
His home run. And it's pretty cool to see this guy can hit all over the field.
Yeah.
He has no problem going the other way with it, and apparently has no problem banging it over the left field wall either.
No. And I've been working nights, so I think I was just getting a slow start. I don't remember, but I just barely made it over to the house. We were to watch the end of the game. I got here, probably 10 minutes before Kyle McCann
homered. Something like that, yep.
And I mean, what can you say about the Kyle McCann homer?
It was beautiful.
It was amazing.
Most impactful home run on an A's fan's heart since the Stephen Vogt final home run of his career, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And I think also, man, just kind of the end of a nightmare series for Craig Kimbrell, too. I think we scored off of him in game one in the 10th to win, and then he had nothing in this inning.
Mm-hmm.
He was, he wasn't close. I think he walked the leadoff guy, almost walked the next guy, and then gave up on it. And then give a home run.
It's a little sad. We could be seeing the end of the Craig Kimbrell dominance.
Yeah.
But he had his time in the light, that's for sure.
And, tell me if this sounds familiar, but the bullpen was awesome.
The bullpen was amazing.
Well, I mean, bullpen won us the game. They kept us in the game.
This is going to be my moment of the week, but it's Ursic's first career save. And just the fact that we were able to give Miller a day off when we really needed him. But we had this other guy, Lucas Ursic, just waiting, and he excelled. He was very Miller-esque,
mm-hmm.
striking out 2 and giving up nothing else. When he first debuted for the A's last year, we definitely liked what we saw, but he had some real rough outings, and it seemed like there was a lot of work to be put in still. And that work seemingly happened, and it's paying off.
Yeah, totally. He looks great. I think even the broadcast said, it's Miller time. It wasn't Miller time. It was Ursic. And we were, I think, nonplussed about it. We were like, it could be Mason Miller, though.
We were a little like, this might not work.
And then he totally dominated.
Yeah. And it wasn't even anything against Ursic. It's just like when you have Miller and you're winning by one and you just took the lead in the 9th.
And you need to keep rolling.
Yeah, you need to keep rolling. But it worked out. And man, if this is how it's going to be, if we can go to Ursic or Miller or McFarland, etc., at any given moment, like, it's a whole new ball game.
It is a whole new ball game.
If this is going to be a truly lockdown bullpen, the Oakland A's, they can put together a season.
They could, because we'll talk about it later, but there are some interesting things going on.
And so I don't know if I'll have to discuss my moment of the week when it comes, but I really think that was a huge moment for this team, and it just goes to show how strong this bullpen can be.
Yes. And then we are on to...
That's a...
The Pirates series.
Series victory over Baltimore. And
which is huge.
Coming home to play a very cold Pittsburgh Pirates team. They started the year off hot, and I didn't even know until we started playing them, but they are ice cold.
They're free falling. And they, it's interesting. Like, I remember thinking this after this game happened. Yeah, like, looking at this lineup, no one's having a good year at all, Well, Cabrian Hayes is doing okay.
Yep.
But everybody else is struggling. And Joe Boyle took advantage of that.
He did
it. He was not amazing.
Started out.
But he was fine.
Started out just how you were afraid it might.
Yeah.
A couple of walks, some bad luck, and somehow he got out of it, only allowing one. And he did his job after that.
He loaded the bases, right? That was the...
Yes.
And then somehow got out of it with just the one run.
I think a sack fly. Maybe. Let's see.
And then... What?
I don't know. They're not highlighting that. You guys are really catching us with our pants down here.
Wild pitch. That's what it was.
People say that, right?
Wild pitch. wild pitch.
Wild pitch.
Wild pitch, which was frustrating. But then
One hit.
Immediately, Tyler Nevlin homers in the bottom of the first and ties it up. Oh, so,
yeah. And you know, I was also like, going to say, they gave up, Boyle gave up a hit to Cabrian Hayes to start the game. And that was the only hit that the Pirates had for a long time until Michael Kelly started pitching in the eighth or ninth.
Yeah, Boyle's, I mean, we've said it before. This stuff is amazing.
It is. You know, like, and
the fastball's still a little bit straight, but it worked more. And when he can't find the zone with some of the other stuff sometimes, it's like, well, at least I know his fastball's straight. You know, like, at least I know he's probably going to be able to throw a strike with his fastball. But he, you know, he was effectively wild in this game.
I'm ready to see it again.
And the bullpen was incredible. Danny Jimenez was great. Kelly was great. This was, we looked better than them.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And the bullpen dominated again. Just everybody in the bullpen is dominating. Oh man, it is fun stuff.
So that was a hot start to that series. And then game two was also pretty great. I mean, game two, arguably
better,
pretty, but like slightly similar. They kept scoring in the top of the first. I think Connor Joe homered, right?
Yep.
But then Alex Wood settled in.
He did.
Pretty well. I mean, he's still not having a great year.
He only went four, but he did throw 93 pitches.
I mean, he's just not... He has not... Ross Stripling seems like he's solving the issues a little bit, mm-hmm. as we'll discuss very soon. But Alex Wood, not quite.
I would agree.
Not quite. But thankfully... The bullpen was nailed again.
Mitch Spence came in and bailed his butt out. Irsay got the hold. Mason got the save with the three strikeouts and nothing else.
Yeah, dude. The Irsay in the eighth, no base runners, striking out the side. And then Miller in the ninth, no base runners, striking out the side is intense, dude.
Six strikeouts, two innings.
Yeah. No, nothing else.
Beautiful.
We got two homers from J.J. Bleday in this game.
It was... The J.J. Bleday day.
It was J.J. Bleday day.
Not cheapies either.
No.
One basically a straightaway center in Oakland at night. Mm-hmm. And the other deep right field. Probably would have been second deck in Yankee Stadium, I'm thinking. Good stuff to see. And he made some great catches too.
And another two hits from Nevin. Two hits from Abraham Toro. Just a good game. Again, you know, this game, very similar with the exception of Alex Wood. We looked better than them. We just, you know, we looked like we were a significantly better team than them, and we just beat them.
Yep.
You know, and that brings us to yesterday, and it's even more so. Like basically everything that we just said about the first two games, but like maybe one step further. I mean, the offense, they only scored four runs, but that was plenty. You know, that was absolutely enough for Ross Stripling, who looked great.
This game was really pretty interesting. So they win 4-0, get the shutout, but the Pirates had traffic all day, and the A's gave them a few chances, including three errors, some pretty poor plays between throws by Nevin and attempts to field those throws by Noda for a couple of those, I believe, and then a Ross Stripling pickoff attempt for the other. So things to be cleaned up, but luckily after the first week, these types of things haven't been popping up too much.
No.
So I'm not too concerned. And what I was going to say is, I mean, the fact that they managed to shut them out while making three errors and giving them every chance in the world is a pretty darn good sign, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, I think the four walks from the bullpen weren't great.
This was Austin Adams almost imploded.
Yeah.
But didn't have it, and somehow he still got through the inning unscathed.
Yeah, and Danny Jimenez, you know, it was interesting. It was an effectively wild day from the bullpen.
It was the play at the plate to get O'Neill Cruz was a really nice play by Daryl Hernandez. Mm-hmm. It just had the feel of, like, you look up at the scoreboard and you're like, oh my gosh, how is it possible the Pirates don't have a run? It was one of those games. Like you're like, sure they scored. I was, in fact, sure that the relievers' scoreless streak had ended, but guess what? It's still going, baby.
Still going.
They are unscored upon in, what, like 28 innings straight now?
Yeah.
It's insane.
And as I said, you know, Tyler Nevin is a little bit of an adventure at third base.
But he doesn't need to play third base. Like, we got other third basemen. It's fine.
But he homered. I mean, he's hot enough that I picked him up in two fantasy leagues. Like, at this point, it seems like he's... I don't know if he's going to hit 325 all year, but it seems like he's going to have a... He's going to have a good year.
I think so.
You know? And Abraham Toro homered. He's looking feisty. Kamakan got two hits, knocked in a run.
Yeah, this was a true full attack, kind of, from the lineup. I guess it's weird. Only six hits scattered across three people, two hits each. But with all the walks that were going on, too,
yeah,
it just felt like a total offensive attack. And they haven't been doing that too much. They haven't been scoring more than two or three runs very often.
Yeah. Yeah, and these are the type of games. This is one of the reasons I love JJ Bleday. You know, I mean, he went over two, but two walks. And it seems like Brent Rooker is doing that a lot, too. Like, if Brent Rooker doesn't have a hit, you bet he's got a couple walks at least. You know, like, they're having good at-bats. Which is infectious, you know, like it's starting to bleed into some of these other dudes. Maybe not the dudes that we thought necessarily, but, you know, Tyler Nevin, Abraham Toro, Kyle McCann, these dudes are not, I don't think necessarily who we thought were going to be helping us produce, but it's working. I don't really care whoever wants to help, go ahead and help.
Totally. Yeah, we're going to get deep into all that. What's your moment of the week?
My moment of the week is JJ Bleday. The JJ Bleday two homer day.
We should make some songs about
JJ Bleday two homer day.
Yeah.
But I think prior to that, the numbers didn't quite support how good of a season I thought he was having. So I'm happy that it made everything look a little bit, you know, I mean, you pop a couple homers and the triple slash line looks a little bit better, you know, so get that slugging percentage up a little bit, buddy, you know?
Yep.
Cause I think I want him to stay in the lineup every day. I want him to blossom.
And it seems like he's got that full opportunity and he's taken it so far.
So yeah, it was super cool. I love JJ Bleday.
Obviously the two homer day helps, but he's definitely picked it up a little bit since we spoke last week.
Yes.
Mine again was the Urseg first career save, completely showing the depth of the bullpen
and like the versatility
and the versatility. The A's are officially hot, ladies and gents. You can't deny it. Does it mean that they're going to go on and win the World Series? Does it mean they're going to go on and have a 500 season? Doesn't mean either of those things, but it means right now, if you're coming to play the Oakland A's, you better bring your A game.
Well, and it firmly means that both of those things are more on the table than they were 10 days ago.
They are not off the table. In fact, the A's are, you know, firmly in third place in the AL West, a couple games back of first. Yes, it's early, but it's also not going terribly, and that is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, we're what, 15 and 17?
15 and 17.
So 500 is there. It's on the horizon. They've still got to get there and push beyond it. But really good opportunity against the Marlins starting this weekend. You know, like that's going to be a pretty good chance to.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations.
Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
They have to sweep them to get over 500. If they don't sweep, they're not going to be over 500. Let's sweep. They'll be close.
The A's started off March 1-3, April 13-14. They won 13 games in a month.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody was guessing that was going to happen going into the season other than the players themselves.
Right.
And guess what? They're 1-0 in May right now. Undefeated. And they are unscored upon.
Wow.
Their winning percentage is 1,000 and their run differential is 4 in May.
What's the overall run differential right now?
It's not good. I don't have that one up, but I'm pretty sure it's about 30 still.
Okay. Well, yeah, they haven't been blowing people out, to be fair. But yeah, I mean, they're just doing all of the things that it seems like they didn't do any of last year, you know?
Negative 32. Some of the things that are coming up recently is they're playing fundamental baseball. They're moving the runner over. They're hustling from first to third. They're tagging up from second to third on a shallow fly ball. They're getting sac flies. They're getting singles. They're obviously not swinging for the fence as much as we're used to seeing. They're actually settling for line drives in the gap or over the infielder's heads, through the hole. Man, this is a different style of baseball than we're used to seeing lately. Not even with just the A's, but across the league.
Yeah.
And it's refreshing and it's fun.
Well, and it's a different style of baseball than they were successful with the last time they won. Consistently, yeah. You know, I mean, I think the last, you know, those Olsen, Chapman, Davis teams, it was about getting walks and hitting homers, you know.
I think there's a lot more similarities between those two teams than we're leading on, though.
Well, I mean, I think the bullpens are similar. I think the bullpens, but I think just in terms of how they got runs,
it's true. I guess a true rally was not the most common thing, I guess.
Well, and this team just I think by nature of power ability has to play small ball more than, I mean, we don't have a Matt Olson or a Chris Davis.
True.
In this lineup,
but so. They're also like fifth or sixth in the league in home runs.
They are. It's some of these dudes, especially, like, you know, guys like Comacan, you know, it's like, I, you know, maybe he is going to hit like 17 or 18 homers this year, you know. And if you have a bunch of dudes that do that, then yeah, you kind of end up with a lot of homers. So it's interesting. You don't necessarily expect so many of these dudes to be taking such good advantage of these opportunities that these like limited, you know, like I really didn't even think Kyle McCann was going to necessarily play that much. And now it seems like he's going to.
I'm feeling like. We're back in the glory days of having two. We're like John Jaso, Stephen Voten it right now. We got a dynamic duo.
Yeah, double catchers. Having two catchers is always better than having none.
That's a sign of a good team when you like your backup catcher.
Yeah, yeah. How cool would it be to just have like a maybe 16-12 month?
I think it's very possible.
You know,
they've won.
I know it's bold to say with what we've seen from this team for the past couple of years that they like, I expect them to sweep the Marlins, but if they're serious, if these group of dudes are serious about competing this year, they need to sweep the Marlins.
They should.
You know, they need to sweep. There's they need no to go out there and sweep the Marlins.
They're hot. Marlins are not.
But yeah, so basically kind of everything is going right.
It's a little eerie, but deserved.
And I wrote down here also just seem to be more lucky, which is hard to quantify, but seems to be true. Like it's just, they're not, it seems they could not, they couldn't buy any sort of luck. If they had luck last year, it was bad luck, you know?
Totally.
And things just kind of, like you said about the Pirates game, like how did they not score?
All the double plays the A's are getting, like it's insane. Every time they need a double play, TJ McFarland comes in, he gets a double play.
Yeah. Invariably. You know, so
it's so fun. It's just much fun. I think we all just need to enjoy it because, quite frankly, did any of us ever think we would have fun watching Oakland A's baseball again, like in the off season? It kind of felt like no, right?
Well, and this is our last chance technically to watch Oakland A's baseball.
So, let's live it up.
We might as well play well, you know?
Yeah.
And just get touching on a couple of specific people. I mean, we've talked about him a little bit. But Tyler Nevin.
Tyler Nevin leads ties for the team lead in WAR with Mason Miller at .9. He's got a 158 OPS plus, which is really freaking good.
Yep.
What else can we say? 4 home runs. He's hit, what, like 3 home runs in his last 4 games, something along those lines. Yep. On base in .375. Averaging .325, if that means anything to you. And yeah, .875 OPS. He is just crushing it. He's, I feel bad for ever thinking badly about putting him on the team, you know?
And I mean, a lot of the stuff that he's doing right now is pretty in line with his like good, healthy seasons in the minors. And nice. You know, he's put up maybe 3 or 4 different seasons that are not, you know, the numbers are not dissimilar from where he's about, where a little, maybe a little bit less, but about where he's at right now. So it's not unprecedented.
And necessarily, I think it was Chris Townsend made a good point. Like, you want to know where all the A's first rounders and second rounders and high draft picks are? Like, well, we have some high draft picks on this team now. Tyler Nevin was a first rounder.
Yeah.
Brent Rooker was technically like a first rounder. He was like in the, what, that little mini like after first round,
the competitive balance period. Ones.
JJ Bleda, like 4th overall pick. Shea Langeliers, first rounder. Zach Gelof, second rounder. I think that's kind of it for the main people. But
I mean, honestly, in baseball, even if you're in the first top 5 rounds,
picks, yeah,
you know, like you're good. You mm-hmm. know, that's the expectation. You carry some amount of expectation that you will be good. You know,
I thought it was really interesting. Lucas Ursig, 2nd round, and he was drafted as a position player.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, want to talk about? I mean, Kyle McCann. Very limited sample size with Kyle McCann.
But the dude can also, do no wrong.
It's great. It's great. I mean, his OPS is over 1,000. It's almost 1,100.
10th on the team in WAR at .3.
Yeah. We talk about Ursig. Ross Stripling too. Ross Stripling's got his ERA down. What do you think, Ross Stripling? Have you seen it? Have you seen his ERA?
4.24.
Oh, I was gonna say, like, what would you guess it was?
Oh, yeah, I'm surprised it's 4.24. But that's good. I think if he can be a 4.24 ERA pitcher the rest of the year, that is a very serviceable position to have on our team.
And I think it's not unrealistic to expect that he might do that.
Yeah,
you know, because I mean, he's been a guy that's at times in large sample sizes been in the mid to low threes. So, you know, he was better than Alex Wood when they were good, I think. I mean, Alex Wood, I think, may have, Alex Wood was like really good for like maybe 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think more consistently Ross Stripling was good.
Stripling was definitely looking on his game over the past week or two here.
And it would be it would go quite a ways towards our overall competitiveness if at least one of them could give us maybe 180 innings of like good baseball.
Yeah. The whole right now, it's looking, Paul Blackburn's the only one like on pace for that. He's got the 111 ERA plus. The other starters are sub 100, but the entire bullpen has ungodly ERA plus numbers.
Yes.
301 for Mason Miller, 267 for Ursig, 205 for Adams. Mere mid hundreds for the rest of them.
And then the last person I want to talk about was Abraham Toro, because Abraham Toro is really holding it all together.
Oh my gosh, yes. He's a little spark plug in the best way possible.
He is, when we have, like, on days where we get shut out and we have 3 hits, every time before I even look at the box score, I'm like, Abraham Toro had two of those hits. Yes, every day. And he is. I mean, he's OPS plus in what was it, 125? Yeah.
125? Which is great. Switch hitting his life away, which I am partial to.
And, like, I honestly, a little bit more power than I thought he was going to have.
That ball that he hit out yesterday, I can't believe that went. I mean, just off the bat, I was like, maybe getting caught by the center fielder, and holy crap, it just carried all the way out.
Yeah, so he's been great. I put down, has been all we could have hoped for, and I think that's true. I think he's,
when
I this is my cup, our cup runneth over with Abraham Toro.
We've got a couple between him and Nevin, and you know, like Brent Rooker, a couple of guys like that. There's some dudes that I feel never really got the chance until now, and you know, they've always been talented, and people have thought highly of them. And when they've played, maybe they've even performed well, but they just never got the run for whatever reason.
Yeah, and I also feel like the numbers aren't like overall terrible for Rooker, and I feel like we got a couple hot streaks left in him too, where we're gonna.
I'm not even worried. He had that really little injury. He's still OPS in 769.
Yeah, so
I'll take it.
So which yeah, we got. Leads us into yeah. I wish your pieces. Ideal lineup.
We got some stuff to work with here.
Ryan Noda got sent down to AAA, which I think is fair. He was scuffling.
Yeah,
he was having a really really hard time. And JD Davis is back up, so that makes us even a little bit more scary.
Mm-hmm.
My big question, I mean, I put it at the bottom, I guess, but where do you think Nevin is best suited? Because I want to say maybe two.
The two hole?
Yeah.
I like him in the two hole, and I like him at first base or DH, I think. Yeah. I mean, we'll see where everything fits in.
Yeah, but I think Nevin in the two hole, I think is probably the best use of his overall like approach, you know?
Totally. He can do it all. And he's not a speed demon.
And I, you know, I really wish Ruiz would just kind of take that leadoff spot, but I don't think he's going to.
I think he has pretty harsh splits.
Yeah.
I like platooning him.
That's
and bringing him in.
And he can lead off when he platoons.
Dude, and you know, he's on my fantasy team, and I haven't been playing him because he doesn't always start. But it seems like even when he doesn't start, he gets 6.5 points because he pinch runs and steals a bag and scores a run.
Yes. Yes. And he does. He's got to be up there and steals. I don't think he's leading because Ellie has, what, 18? He might be leading the AL.
Ruiz?
Yeah.
Ruiz has 4. He just hasn't played.
Oh, he only
has
4? Yeah. Oh, I thought he had more than that.
Zach Geloff also has 4.
And I saw that he was like, you know, doing infield
drills.
He's
back to moving.
So that's good.
He's using a glove. Okay, wait. So who are we batting lead off? I mean, we can say Ruiz in a perfect world. He figures out how to hit righties.
Yes, and this is a perfect world.
This is a perfect world. This is when all of these players are perfect. But also, you know, we're trying to take into account what we've seen a little bit.
Three JJ Bladé, right?
JJ Bladé. Sure. Should we bat Toro leadoff? I mean, he is pretty cool in the leadoff hole.
That sounds great. I like that idea a lot, actually.
And where do we want to play Toro? I guess that's the question.
I think I want to say, oh, well, so is Zach Geloff in this lineup or is Zach Geloff hurt? This is our perfect lineup, right?
I don't know. I think, yes, it's our perfect lineup.
Okay, so Zach Geloff is here.
We don't have to worry about injuries, but I think we do have to worry about how they've been playing, you know?
Right.
Take into account, in a perfect world where they're not injured and we've seen how everyone's playing right now, where do we put them?
Okay. So with that in mind, I think definitely Bladé at 3. Cleanup gets a little interesting.
Rooker. I think Rooker. Rooker DH for now?
I would say. All right, I may put him in left. Leave DH open.
Geloff?
I maybe want to say Geloff at like 6.
Okay. I do like a little lefty-righty action.
5 is interesting.
We could do Seth Brown. We could do Lawrence Butler.
I think I like Seth Brown. Honestly.
I like Seth Brown. Brown and right for now?
Yeah.
Well, we know Shea's the catcher. Where do we... Oh, we could easily put Shea in. Damn, well, why do we have... We've got too much to work with.
I'm not with Shea at 6.
Yeah, that's true. I know. But it's just like, man, Shea could bang it out at 4.
And then, strictly based on, as you said, what we've seen this year, I think probably Geloff 7.
It'd be nice to have him down in the lineup, honestly.
Geloff and then Butler and then Allen, I would say. Or are we not doing it?
No. So we don't even... Let's see. What do we need? We need a third baseman. We could put Toro at third. Yeah, we have JD Davis.
Toro. Oh my gosh. I forgot.
Dude, this is a really hard question. Maybe we should be focusing on lefty or righty pitcher as a, you know, like give us some direction.
I think we should put J.D. Davis at 6. Or maybe 5 and move everybody else down. You know?
Yeah.
Because Seth Brown has not been hitting very well.
Okay, Langlier's is 8. Oh.
Yes. And then Nick Allen, right?
Well, do we? That's or, where I was kind of, part of this or, is Hernaez or Nick Allen.
I could do Hernaez. Hernaez has been, he's been looking.
It's hard to say. I mean, they both are stinky overall, but lately the approach, I mean, they're both looking okay lately, I will say. Defensively, they're both looking good. Hernaez, there's just something about him. I feel like he's going to bust out. I don't know. Start hitting.
Let's put him in there.
But I don't know. I have a weird relationship with Nick Allen.
Hernaez gets a start today. We're making the call. Sorry, Nick Allen.
Okay, we need... I mean...
That's it.
So let's put Toro in, like, right. Or, I mean, left. And then Rooker in DH.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, this is going to be controversial. You know, yeah, it's the way it has to be. We're going to put Ruiz and Butler in as soon as we need them, you know. Yeah. Same thing with Max Schumann.
Yeah.
And Kyle McCann.
Well, and I think also, as we said, well, or, okay, so we're talking the Shea Langelier spot. You can put Shea slash Kyle McCann.
Yeah, we love them both. We realize.
And I think also Shea is a slightly better, like, catcher.
He's better. He's more athletic. He's
Yeah.
But I mean, the number, he doesn't have a 218 OPS plus like Kyle McCann.
He doesn't. Maybe he can get there though. And then who would you, who are we starting game one of a playoff series?
I would.
On the mound.
Man, it's tough. I think Paul Blackburn.
I think that's not a bad answer.
JP Sears could do quite well. And there's a part of me that's tempted to just throw Kyle Muller out there the way he's been going.
Kyle Muller's been dealing. Carmel's been pitching well.
Or Mitch Spence.
Yeah, just start with I don't know about playoff openers. It hasn't gone well.
It hasn't gone well.
But anyway. Okay, I think it's a pretty good lineup.
So we ended up with Toro leading off at third. I'm sorry. In left. Nevin at first base. Blade Day, center field. Rooker, DH. J.D. Davis, third base. Brown, right field. Geloff, second. Langlier's catching. And Hernaez, shortstop.
That's
what our hearts want to see right now, I guess.
As of May 2nd.
We'll see how that changes. We'll revisit this maybe in a month or two. I want Miguel Andujar to come make an appearance. Tyler Soderstrom could be coming up at some point. Luis Medina is working his way back. I wish Sean Newcomb was here. Freddie Tarnock will be fun. Scott Alexander will be kind of fun. Ken Waldachuk. There's people on the way, and this team is already, you know, kind of keeping their head above water. So, reason to believe, as hot as they are, they could be better.
All righty. What is the coolest thing you saw in baseball this week?
Definitely the hot dog man at the Mets game. The dollar dog night got a little bit crazy when a specific individual had the entire crowd chanting for him and throwing all of their dollar hot dogs at him and chanting at him to eat one more dog. And it was great. He did what the crowd wanted him to. It's all on Twitter if you want to go check it out. And he's just a legend. He had a shirt that said, "Bad day to be a glizzy." Dogs, like 9 check marks under it. Beers, like also 9 check marks under it.
He had a good day at the ballpark.
And he was still standing.
Yeah. Yeah. He was escorted out. But
he didn't do anything wrong.
He won the day. And my coolest thing was Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty had 14 Ks against the Cardinals.
Crazy.
Which was, you know, he's been trying to find it for a couple seasons. It looks like he may be finally putting it together in Detroit, which is good because I like Jack Flaherty.
Me too. Very cool. I streamed him thinking that maybe he'd get me 15 points and he got me 50.
Okay. I am doing a look back for you. And I got it.
Ding. We got a 2007 Oakland Air. Right field, left field, center field. Played until 2010, then he went to Cleveland, then he went to Houston. He hit a few home runs. This one's hard. Oakland, Cleveland, Houston. Singing is not making it easy.
It feels like it'll help sometimes.
I guess we probably liked him in 2007 because he had a 129 OPS plus.
You are going. You know that you know who this is for sure. You will recognize the name.
But he wasn't very good ever again.
He wasn't.
Oh, gosh. 2007. All right, first year of A's suctitude post 2006.
You want a hint?
Yeah.
He had good hair.
Oh, yeah. Travis Buck.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, that was a letdown. Oh, forgot all about that.
Yeah, he was, but he started off pretty hot.
Good stuff.
He kind of did the Jamal Weeks thing where his rookie year was incredible.
We were like, oh my God, we love this guy.
And then, you know.
He's fun. He's got swag.
Didn't quite work out. He's got good hair. All righty. And then last but certainly not least, we got the pick a team thing. And let me take a look here. I picked the Cubs, right? Is that what it says? How the Cubs did. Cubs went 3-4. So, not my best pick. Which brings me to
4-3.
15-10.
4-3, you went the Orioles. Are you counting today?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good. 4-3, you went the Orioles. And then I pick.
So, what is that? 16-10, right? For you?
That's right. And then I go first?
That's a half game lead for you.
You had the half game lead before that. And I think I go first.
Yeah.
And I'm picking the Mets. And I don't know. I think I'm just sticking with it. They don't play every day, but they play all but one day. So they got 6 games.
And I'll pick the Padres, who also play 6 games.
Nice. And there you have it.
And that is all we have for you after one of the best weeks of Oaktown Boys in a long time.
It felt good. It feels good. If you're on the fence about how you should feel, just let it feel good.
Yes. Yeah. Enjoy it. Just enjoy it. And I hope that we only have one more loss between this episode and the next episode also, because that would be awesome. We would come back in equally good moods.
Oh, man.
Maybe even better moods, you know?
Better.
So, in the meantime, go A's.
Go A's.